Hi, welcome to Missouri Made, the podcast that gives you an insider look at Missouri politics. I'm State Representative Deb Lavender, representing District 90, Kirkwood Glendale area of the St. Louis County.
Welcome. Today we have Becky Morgan. Becky is in the St. Louis area. Becky is with Moms Demand Action, and today we are going to talk about common sense guns and how Moms Demand Action has started as a movement across this nation. Becky, first off, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And for listening, people listening, we're at 7:40 in the morning on Thursday, April 4th. Still in my office, so we'll see what kind of sounds start happening as more people start attending the Capitol coming in this morning. But Becky, why don't you go ahead and give us kind of like a background of how Moms got started.
Sure. So Moms Demand Action got started a little more than 6 years ago. It really started the day after Sandy Hook, in which you may recall 20 little first graders and six educators were shot and killed in the sanctity of their school. The day after that happened, a stay-at-home mom named Shannon Watts went online to join a group of moms who were working on gun violence prevention, only to find that a group like that didn't exist. So instead of just quitting and throwing in the towel, she thought, well, why don't I just start my own group? So that's exactly what she did. She knew how to create a Facebook page, so that's how we started. We really started as one Facebook page, and it just grew exponentially from there because she obviously wasn't the only mom or parent or concerned American who wanted to take action on this issue. So we very quickly established Facebook pages all across the country. And then what started as an online movement quickly became an offline movement where people were meeting in public together to organize and mobilize on this issue. So 6 years later, we have over 5 million supporters all across the country, which is really astounding. We have a chapter in every single state that is including Alaska and including Hawaii, which is pretty remarkable. And we have really changed the conversation on gun violence prevention and common sense gun safety in this country.
Well, I completely agree with you on that. And tackling a topic that the NRA had controlled for so long, in my short history, and I've never been an NRA member, I've never been a gun owner, but I know that even in the conversation of the NRA, it went from such a safety-minded organization. Their magazines constantly were talking about safety, how to use guns, training, articles about, you know, just in that whole realm. And over the last maybe two decades, it's gone to a total protection of the Second Amendment right. Much more about freedoms and rights and promoting gun ownership, putting us into kind of a back and forth antagonistic position. So I think that is even a loss for NRA that they're not having the emphasis on safety anymore.
Right, and I should say too, I wanna point out too that our organization, we fully support the Second Amendment. We just believe that with rights come responsibilities. We have a number of gun owners who are part of our organization. I have a number of volunteer leaders who are moms, who are gun owners, who go hunting or they keep a gun for protection. So we fully support the Second Amendment. We just support common sense solutions. So we can help keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people in the first place and take common sense preventative measures. But yeah, I will agree that the NRA has changed. We really don't have a problem with NRA membership. Over 75% of members of the NRA support common sense measures such as background checks. It's really the NRA leadership that has taken a turn in the last 20 to 40 years.
Oh, even a little bit longer than I thought. And I completely agree with you. There's nothing about anything I do here in the state capitol. I do not want to infringe on a person's right to own their arms, their guns. I don't want to infringe on people's hunting abilities or protections abilities. But the pendulum has swung to such a degree that we're no longer putting in, as you're talking about, the common sense safety solutions, the prevention measures that a lot of us just want. I want our children to be safe. I want to decrease the number of fatal and accidental shootings in homes with children. That's where my emphasis has been, on how do we do that. And I know moms are just so, and I say moms casually, but moms demand action, that there's so much in favor of all the things that I'm interested in as well.
Right. And we have done pretty amazing work, particularly here in the state of Missouri. Since we formed 6 years ago, we did start out as a group of about five moms in the St. Louis area, who could all fit around one kitchen table. And now 6 years later, we do have 18 groups throughout the state. So that's obviously not in just St. Louis and Kansas City. We have Moms Demand Action groups in some pretty red rural parts of this state, including Southeast Missouri, Cass County, St. Joseph, Joplin. I could go on and on.
You have 18 of them. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And so these are the voices that the legislators who represent those areas, constituents, and so we're really glad to empower those people to reach out and contact their legislators about some of these policies that we need to put in place or oppose in Missouri.
Yep. Well, and thank you for telling us the history here in Missouri. I think that's very impressive. I believe you and I met, you weren't sitting around your table with five people, but I know we met quite a while ago. Maybe the first grouping I went to, you had 40 or 50 people, but we met earlier on. I'm just delighted to have watched how you have steered the Moms Demand chapter in Missouri, your dedication, your passion, and your commitment to having this organization be successful, and for working for the state of Missouri for us to have a safer streets, safer homes. And so I appreciate all that you've been doing all along the way.
Oh, thank you. And I should point out that I'm a volunteer, and all of the people that you see here on the ground in Missouri are the people that, you know, that come to Jefferson City to testify and table in the Capitol and at safety fairs all across the state. We're all volunteers. And so we're just doing this because we saw something so wrong and we need to right it. We're just compelled to take action to protect our kids.
Yeah.
And I should point out, too, that despite the name being Moms Demand Action, everybody is welcome. Really, the inspiration for our name came from Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but just like you don't have to be a mom to be against drunk driving, people did not have to be a mom to be part of Moms Demand Action. So dads, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, students, everybody is welcome. And I'll add that everybody's voice is needed at the table on this.
Very good. Well, let's dive then into what specifically is happening in Missouri right now. Each of the last 2 years, we've had a bill introduced that we have coined Guns Everywhere. And the bill this year is House Bill 258. And Guns Everywhere is that you can take a concealed weapon into your schools. So a parent dropping off a kid has a concealed weapon. He no longer needs to leave it in his car. Teachers would be able to carry, but also our churches and our bars, which is kind of a fascinating concept of alcohol and guns, and then especially right now on our college campuses. And you have experience coming over to testify against that bill. Can you tell us what the testimony has been like in the committees both this year and last year?
Sure. Well, it's been really astounding. We've had overwhelming opposition to this legislation in the state of Missouri. So, you know, it really, you know, as you describe this, I think the listeners at home are thinking, gosh, guns in bars? That sounds like a terrible idea. And it is. And we've seen that in these committee hearings these last couple of years, just overwhelming opposition to this legislation. This year, when we went to testify, opposition outnumbered any kind of support by at least 3-1. Every single public Missouri college is against this legislation. we heard from the campus protection officers, numerous campus protection officers, that they were against this measure. The Missouri NEA, people representing bars, people representing different faith organizations, including the Missouri Catholics Conference, came to testify and raise their voice in opposition to this. So just overwhelming opposition. So the fact that this got tacked on as an amendment to another terrible bill, it just doesn't seem democratic. It's just not right. It seems like a desperate move and a way to work around the system. So we still need people to raise their voices on this issue.
Yeah. One of the things that intrigues me is we can have hearings on bills, and as you're saying, there's 3-1, sometimes 4, sometimes 5-1 opposition. Sometimes the only person who's sitting testifying in favor of a bill is the sponsor themselves. And then 10 people come behind them and say, this isn't a good bill because of these reasons. And yet we still hear it on the floor. We still pass it out of the House. It just intrigues me, with no one supporting a bill, how it continues to move forward. Mm-hmm. Becky, do you have a way to respond to people who believe that gun control is overreaching and we're truly, the only purpose we have in mind is to take their guns from them? Do you have a way to be able to push back on that premise?
Sure. Well, I think that repetition is key. And, you know, we've been saying this for 6 years, and we'll say it as long as we need to, that, you know, our organization and, you know, I won't speak for the other organizations, but, you know, there's not a single gun safety organization that doesn't say that they support the Second Amendment. You know, we really do. I know the people who come to our meetings who are gun owners, because they come up and they tell me. So when I look out at, you know, for example, one of our monthly St. Louis meetings, which we consistently have at least 100 people every month, I can see who the gun owners are because they've told me.
Yeah.
So we just need to repeat it as often as possible. And, you know, I would invite people to come to our meetings so they could see for themselves that the gun owners are welcome at our Moms Demand Action meetings. And we're really just pushing for, you know, evidence-based, data-driven policy measures that have been proven to reduce gun violence and save lives.
That's terrific. I remember years ago, I had a booth at a festival in downtown Kirkwood, and a gentleman came over and he said, "You just want my gun?" I said, "No, I would like background checks on all gun sales." And there wasn't anything I said that he didn't respond with, "You just want my gun." And I appreciate, and that's what I did. I kept saying, "Nope, I just want background checks." But I left that conversation puzzled. And then later heard that people said that once we open the door, it's just going to be a downhill slide because we want their guns. So I appreciate your answer of it's repetition. It's come see what we're talking about. Come be part of what we're doing. And you'll see that we want gun violence prevention. We want common sense safety. We want solutions to help stop children dying from gun violence.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
All right. Well, now let's go a little bit more. So the other night on the floor, we did have a campus protection bill that came up. And interestingly, we talked about health care of students and who's paying for their health care. We talked about whether or not colleges have the right to demand their students live on campus. And then we had the introduction of the Gun Everywhere bill that was pared down to just include college campuses. And so the bill got on. Many of us stood to talk. I was not recognized to speak in a way. I had an amendment that would have put on the red flag legislation. You know that red flag legislation is if you have a concern for your brother, whether you think he is homicidal or suicidal, you have an access to the courts to ask to remove his gun from him for a short time period of 6 months to a year, so that while he's in perhaps a depressed state, he doesn't have access to the gun in his home. And that's all it is. It truly is a due process. If your brother says, oh, my sister was just mad at me, that's not really true, I'm okay. There's a judge involved. I look at it very similarly to the protection orders that women get against men. That it's not more than just saying, hey, I think there's a concern here, there's a judge involved, there's due process involved. I wasn't recognized to even be able to offer my amendment. So not uncommon on our House floor, but unfortunate that we weren't able to speak more at the time. One of the excuses for me that they talked about having guns on college campuses is that it will prevent women from being assaulted, abused, or raped. And I'm just dumbfounded how we still think that a woman carrying a gun is going to prevent somebody from being violent to her.
Right, right. I mean, let's keep in mind that we're then allowing this potential rapist to have a gun on him. So, and the fact that most women who experience rape are raped by somebody that they know.
Yes.
So, and if you're in a, you know, close quarter, then you know, usually women would probably carry a gun in their purse. Well, then it's on the other side of the room where maybe the man has it in his holster right there on his waistband. I just, you know, when we think through it more, and also is a woman going to shoot somebody that they know,
right.
Which is, you know, historically, and the evidence shows that that's generally what happens in those situations. So, right. You know, this kind of notion that adding more guns to the mix will reduce gun violence, we've already tried that really as a country.
Yes.
We have 25 times the amount of gun violence as our peer nations because we have so many more guns than our peer nations. So we've run this experiment, and that idea has been proven false. So if we're going to talk about keeping our children safe, you know, we need to look at the evidence and the data and make our policies from there, not this kind of anecdotal or emotional place.
Right. And I agree, too. So first off, I agree with you, and I think you state correctly that women are often raped by people they know. So the mm-hmm. circumstances aren't going to be that you have your gun with you. What I'm intrigued by is if I'm walking on the street, even if I'm being alert and attentive, if a man wants to assault me and there's any element of surprise at all, we know the man is stronger than I can be. And so to think that we're going to overwhelm a man in order to get to my purse, to get my gun out, to be able to use it, I think is just not really being aware of circumstances and how quickly those things happen. For years, women have been taught self-defense, how we can react in those moments of attack that are quick and can be effective, and then we're encouraged to run and scream is some of our best tools for getting out of a circumstance. So now you have a gun in your purse, I think you're more apt to say, oh, I have a gun in my purse, let me get it out, which then again gives the ability, the guy, it gives him the favor again, he's back in charge, while you're digging in your purse to pull your gun out. It just doesn't seem rational or reasonable to me that that's a method we're going to prevent assaults on women. Guns
right.
in dorms, you know, the men on the floor in the house the other night feel that their daughters will be safer having a gun in their dorm room. And that terrifies me.
Right.
You know, what type of accidents could we be potentially setting up in a dorm setting with these kids? And, yeah,
right.
It just terrifies me that that opportunity is now possible because of the House actions the other day.
Right. And we have seen these accidental discharges of guns in other states where they have legalized guns on campus. For example, in Texas, just weeks after the guns on campus law went into effect there, a permit-holding student, so this is somebody who had a permit, right? A student unintentionally discharged his gun in his dorm room.
Yeah.
And in Utah, another permit holding student recently discharged his gun in a crowded cafeteria.
So are
we really making things safer? Or, you know, if my child who goes off to college is hurt or killed because somebody has an accident with their firearm because the legislature passed this law, I mean, how incredibly devastating would that be? And that is the situation that we're potentially setting up.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, good. What else do you know is either happening here, other bills that you've got your eye on? Fortunately, this is the only one that's made it to the House floor so far.
Right. Well, actually, this morning in about 20 to 30 minutes, there's going to be a hearing on Burleson's bill, the Second Amendment Preservation Act. And we have some Moms Demand Action volunteers who will be in the Capitol there very soon testifying against this. This is the kind of bill that if it becomes law, it would make, you know, those red flag laws that you talked about before, which are such a wonderful resource for family and loved ones to prevent mass shootings from happening in the first place. This Second Amendment Preservation Act would make a red flag law impossible in the state of Missouri. So
isn't that great? And after, I think, the incident in Florida at Parkland,
yes,
just a little over a year ago, have there not been 11 states that have passed red flag legislation?
I think that that's right. I don't have that number in front of me, but I believe that that's correct.
So we're close. So there are people, it's interesting, in states around Missouri that recognize there is prevention and safety solutions that can keep us safe without infringing on the right of someone to bear arms.
Exactly.
So many times you hear that it's, oh, we need to address mental health. We need to address mental health. Well, guess what? Red flag legislation addresses the mental health issue, and
right,
it allows us to have someone be safe without their gun for maybe a 6-month time period, maybe a 1-year time period, while they're able to seek mental health care to get them back up on their feet. And quite often the mental health issues of depression or suicidal or being angry really can subside in that time frame, but this keeps everyone safe.
Exactly. And another bill that we are keeping an eye on is Representative Tracy McCreary's House Bill 960, which would help keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers. And this is something that really I think that we can all agree on, right? Like, this is why we have 18 groups throughout the state. This is
right,
why we are able to do outreach throughout the state in rural parts, is because everybody can agree that we don't want domestic abusers to have guns. I think that we're hearing that this bill will be heard in committee, and we're really happy to see that. So, you know, currently, as you know, federal law prohibits domestic abusers from having guns, but we do not have a state law to mirror that. And in that instance, Missouri law enforcement cannot enforce this important public safety measure. So if a woman's in a domestic violence situation right now, because there's no state law, they would really have to contact the ATF. And they are not, you know,
right,
very quickly going to be
right,
able to deal with that.
Right.
So
those are not,
we need to give.
Yes.
Right, right.
They're not the
so
people that are on the streets that are mindful or available or respond to your calls in a timely fashion. Yes.
Exactly. And local law enforcement, you know, want to be able to help people who are in these domestic violence situations. And I will say, too, like, 3 years ago in 2016, the Missouri legislature unfortunately passed Senate Bill 656,
yeah,
which was permitless carry. And at the time, it was widely acknowledged by the majority party and the minority party there that there were numerous flaws with this permitless carry law. But we were promised that those would be fixed very soon.
Right.
And the legislature hasn't taken any steps to fix that.
Agreed.
So we're really continuing to kind of put pressure on lawmakers and let them know, hey, we haven't forgotten that you guys said you were going to fix this.
Good.
And time's ticking. So.
Right. And Representative McCreary has been very active in attempting to fix those errors. She's worked with colleagues across the aisle over the last several years to bring forth legislation to fix the Senate Bill 656 that did pass a couple of years over the objection of Jay Nixon's veto, we should say. And unfortunately, our Republican colleagues have not followed through with the actions that they said they would take. And so Tracy went ahead and filed the bill on her own this year, and it's terrific that she'll have the opportunity for a hearing on that.
We're excited. And I will say that law enforcement officers were very vocal about their opposition to this bill. So, you know, in the past, it would be that they could deny a local sheriff or a law enforcement officer could deny a permit to somebody that they knew was a domestic violence abuser. When the legislature passed Permit Was Carry in 2016, they took away law enforcement's ability to deny permits to domestic abusers. Right. So, you know, we have people who, for the past, you know, 2+ years now, have been in more dangerous situations because of that, and we really need to fix that.
Agreed. Well, Becky, I appreciate your time this morning. I know that we both have things that we have to get to, but I want to very quickly say, and by the time people hear this, it'll be too late, and they live across the state anyway, you are having a meeting tonight at the Kirkwood Baptist Church, Moms Demand Action, that starts at 7. But more than that, because people won't know to come tonight, how do people find out where and when you meet?
A great place to go is on state Facebook page. So I would recommend people go to Facebook and then type in the search bar Moms Demand Action -MO, M-O, to find the Missouri Facebook page. And all of our events are listed there. If you go to the left side of the page and just click on the word events, you'll see the events for all of those 18 groups throughout the state. So, I mean, there's practically something happening, you know, a couple of events every week, and you'll be able to find the group near you.
Yeah, I was thinking you probably, with 18 groups, have 3 to 4 meetings weekly now across the state, but still, I think that's awesome. I have just thoroughly enjoyed watching this group start, grow. I so appreciate your leadership in having Missouri grow to the state that it has, of 18 groups across our state in a pretty conservative state. I think it just emphasizes what you have said from the start. We honor the Second Amendment. It's there. We want prevention and safety solutions to keep our friends, our neighbors, and mostly our children safe.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having me on to talk about this and for elevating this conversation. And thank you so much for everything that you do day in and day out in Jefferson City to improve safety for Missourians. We really appreciate it, Deb.
Thank you. All right. Well, I will see you tonight at your meeting.
Thank you. Wonderful. Looking forward to it.
All right. Take care then.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Please subscribe to the podcast. We'll have a new episode each week. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter at Deb Lavender. We'll have a website for you where you can find all of our episodes, videos from the Capitol, and more. Thank you for listening.